The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Now the birth of Jesus the Messiah took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been engaged to Joseph, but before they lived together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. Her husband Joseph, being a righteous man and unwilling to expose her to public disgrace, planned to dismiss her quietly. But just when he had resolved to do this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet, "Look, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall name him Emmanuel," which means God is with us. When Joseph awoke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took her as his wife, but had no marital relations with her until she had borne a son, and he named him Jesus. Beloved children of God, this is the good news, the gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, O
You may be seated. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. As you may recall from last week, we had John the Baptist sitting in prison, wondering if Jesus is the Messiah or if they are they to wait for another. Jesus was not meeting John the Baptist's expectations. God not coming to us as we expect is certainly something that we see on the fourth Sunday of Advent this year. Not just the Messiah coming to us in unexpected ways, but in a way that is scandalous. In our culture and society, often being religious means that you're to be good and look good. And in our gospel lesson from Matthew, we hear that Joseph took on this trait seriously. He was a righteous man. Joseph sought to embody what is right. And we often get in trouble with the concept of righteousness and being righteous is that we then notice what other people aren't doing, right? When we get caught up in what's being righteous, then we might notice, hey, what they're doing is unrighteous. That's where we get in trouble. And Joseph here is confronted with a scandal that can do great harm to his righteous reputation. His concern is that other people will judge him and his family for being unrighteous. Maybe we shouldn't be too quick to praise Joseph here. Sure, he could have made things very bad for Mary and doesn't want to cause her harm immediately or overtly. But because he knows that if people discover that the one to whom he's engaged to is now pregnant, he's primarily consumed with his own reputation. Because dismissing Mary quietly doesn't get rid of the pregnancy, does it? She's still going to be pregnant. Joseph might be able to save himself, but ultimately he cannot save Mary from the public scandal and judgment that would follow. Righteousness in our world is based on what we do. It is by definition works righteousness. We must do the right things and say the right things, or else we could be accused of causing harm and scandal. We're not being considered good or righteous in our world. Now, our words certainly matter. Our actions certainly matter. We want the world to love us. We want God to love us. No matter how much we say that it is God's work that saves us, the cultural message is far too strong in conveying that our words and actions is where we find salvation in the world. Even among the religious, the grace of God is lip service to the need for righteous actions being linked to whether or not you are righteous or even considered a Christian. There are churches where if you think differently on a particular issue in our society, then you are not a righteous person or considered a real Christian. There are churches that will go as far to say who you vote for is a determining factor of whether you are a righteous person or a real Christian. No room for nuance or people coming to different conclusions for different reasons. And such a weaponization of that kind of righteousness is an abuse both civically and theologically and spiritually. There are so many things in our lives that then can be held under a microscope. And some who seek to control us under this definition of righteousness and conform our own spirit to fill a small and narrow box of what it means to be righteous and to maintain that righteousness, that maintain that good reputation in all that we do in the world, to what, all from across the spectrum, to what we wear, who we keep company with, the convictions we hold. If we buy into that, who are we serving? Are we serving God? When we make sure that we keep walking this narrow path of worldly righteousness, or are we serving people? As Timothy Hoyer puts it, to serve righteousness as our God is to serve the creature instead of the Creator. In Joseph's dream, the angel tells him that Mary will bear a son, and you're to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. As Joseph is working diligently to save himself and to preserve his righteousness, he hears of this child that is coming who will literally save all people from their unrighteousness, which is all of us. No matter what we've done to maintain righteousness in society, no matter what we've done to lose righteousness in our society, Jesus has come to save us. That the good news is that we belong to God because of God's love for us, not because of our actions, not because of our movement towards God, but because of God's movement towards us. For those who have been pushed away from the church and to the margins of society, Jesus has come to save them. And even for those who are gatekeepers in church and society, Jesus has come to save them. It is Jesus who has cleansed us from all unrighteousness. And the life that we are to live as Christians is to trust in his promise that we are forgiven and made new in Christ. If you notice in our story of faith, the scandal does not end at his birth. There is the scandal of the cross of Christ, which ultimately serves as our righteousness. As we hear in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 23 to 25, but we proclaim Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and foolishness to Gentiles. But to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. For God's foolishness is wiser than human wisdom, and God's weakness is stronger than human strength. The unexpected scandal in which God comes to us is a constant in our story of faith. Yet we are quick to not enter the very scandal that God has entered. The initial impulse of Joseph, of you and me, is to keep our distance from certain people in the world. And I confess, I wrestle with this all the time. How does my presence in this place, or how does my walking with those people, how's that all going to be seen and interpreted? But you know what? God is in those places. God is with those people. And God has created those people, and they reflect the image and likeness of God, the very Creator that desires to be in communion with them. Who are we to stay away? The scandal of the cross and the righteousness that we receive from the cross enables us to walk across the chasms of society that have been bridged by that cross of Christ. God doesn't keep a distance from us. The good news is that God is with us. So then our response is not to keep our distance from anyone. The distance between us and God has been closed through Jesus. And following the way of Jesus, we will walk with those who have been disgraced by offering them grace. We will welcome those who have been despised. We will seek to support the poor, lift up the lowly, and respect those who are different from us. To love and respect those who are different from us, and maybe to love and respect those who we don't understand, and even take the time to listen to them. The good news is that God is with us. And responding to this good news, that there is no gap or chasm between us and God, that God is with us, that we should seek to be with all those in whom God is present with an end, which is everyone, everywhere. And as God's holy people, God's holy church, be ready to share the love of Jesus with everyone. Thanks be to God. Amen.